Welcome to For Real Conversations, the podcast discussing the heartwarming and sometimes challenging world of life with our pets. I'm Lauren, a clinical animal behaviourist, and I'm going to embark on a journey to have honest conversations, discuss realities, and share stories of the joy, love, occasional chaos, and let's be honest, sometimes stress and anxiety that our fairy friends bring into our lives. When it comes to our pets, the conversations here are for real. Hello. So in today's episode, I thought I would have a conversation all about the use of crates in our dogs' lives and in dog training. So it's very common for people to want to use a crate when they've got a new dog, whether that's a puppy or a rescue dog, or whatever. They want the dog to be able to go in the crate and be shut in there, whether that's for overnight or when owners need to go out or for whatever reason. And I think that's quite common advice to be given. However, personally, I'm not a huge fan of that traditional use of a dog crate. And I personally take a slightly different approach. So I thought I'd chat about that approach and what it is and why I use it. Because it's potentially a little bit of an unpopular opinion and goes away from the traditional use of a crate, but I've personally found it to be really, really useful and have great results. So lots of people I speak to when they're looking to train a puppy or train their dog mention wanting to have some advice and help with crate training. So when they say that to me, I often like to start off by asking them, so why do you want to use a crate? What purpose do you want the crate to have in your dog's life? And quite often I find people don't necessarily easily have an answer for that question. They might necessarily say, well, we've just read that's what you should do, or we've been told we should crate train the dog and we want the dog to be able to be shut away because we're worried about them toileting or being destructive and we want them to be able to settle. And those are all completely fair enough points and answer the question. However, there is a little bit more to that, because ultimately when we're getting a new puppy or a new dog, we do want to tackle toilet training, so hopefully your dog can be loose without having toileting accidents. We ideally don't want them to be destructive, and if our dogs are being destructive, then that might signal that something isn't quite right and that maybe our dog isn't fully content or happy, so that's maybe something we need to investigate why, rather than just trying to stop them doing it. So they're all fair enough reasons for wanting to use a crate. However, for me, the purpose of a crate is to ensure that our dog is able to rest. So for me, a crate offers an opportunity for a dog to rest and have a safe space somewhere that's their own space that they can go to chill out. And for me, the traditional way of using that crate by teaching a dog to be shut in the crate doesn't necessarily always do that. So don't get me wrong, it is possible to start crate training your dog in a traditional way by encouraging them in and getting them used to the door being shut and maybe getting their food in there, being given treats. However, for me, sometimes that can be problematic down the line when either an owner decides that they don't necessarily actually want the crate up all the time because it's not particularly convenient. They can be bulky and take up a lot of room. Or perhaps the dog actually would much rather rest somewhere else. So perhaps they have a cozy spot with their own bed in a corner that they would much rather be than the crate. Or whatever reason that actually the crate doesn't turn out to be the most convenient or chosen option. So for me, I do use a crate with my two dogs. So we've got one upstairs in our bedroom, which is where our dogs actually sleep at night. And we've also got one downstairs in our living space. So both my dogs use the crates regularly and they both do that by choice. So I don't actually shut them in it. It's just basically used as a secure, safe, cozy space for them. And I do find that that works really, really well. So I've spoken about Poppy and her use of crate quite a bit before. I've got a blog about that on my website. And with Poppy, I really did find that it was all about her choosing it to be a restful, safe space that has actually resulted in the crate being used and having that function. So initially with Poppy, I wanted her to be crate trained when we initially got her as a rescue dog. because I'd read that you should crate train a rescue dog. So I didn't necessarily want the crate for, or didn't really know why I was using it, but I just read that it's what you should do. So I thought, okay, we'll crate train her. So we started trying to get her to use this crate that we'd set up, and we used food and tried to encourage her in and gradually get used to shutting the door and building it up gradually. And she would go in and we would be able to shut the door briefly and she would maybe spend a little bit of time, but she never really truly settled down and was happy with it as a resting space. She'd always choose her own safe spaces elsewhere. For example, Poppy likes to go underneath beds if she gets the opportunity. She would pick resting spaces that really suited her, and they often weren't the crate. So in the end, I think like most people do, we just gave up with the crate and we went, you know what, this isn't working. It's just a bit annoying and then we don't really have room for it. So we ditched the idea of the crate. And then when I was due to have my daughter, I really needed somewhere that Poppy could call a safe space, a secure space downstairs. So I always had a feeling that Poppy would really like somewhere nice and secure. And I decided to reintroduce a crate. So I've got a covered crate set. So I really like that because it's a lovely, secure, cozy space. And I really tried to make it as an appealing space as possible. So we actually had a throw on our sofa that Poppy really loved. She always chose to sit on that. So I actually added that to the crate. And that really works because Poppy saw it in there and she went, oh, that's the blanket I like to sit on, or the throw I like to sit on. So I'm going to go in there and settle down into it. So that actually worked really well because very quickly Poppy chose to start using a space to curl up in it. And to this day, she absolutely loves it. It's one of her favourite places to go. It's a nice covered crate, so it gives her a nice cozy space. So if she's feeling overwhelmed, which Poppy is an anxious dog, so it happens regularly. If we have visitors around and she wants her own space, she can take herself off and go to this cozy, secure space and know that she will be left alone. So that's worked out really, really well. And I've done the same with Ivy. Ivy is the opposite type of dog to Poppy. She's happy-go-lucky, lively, loves people. But even she really benefits from a place she can go to just chill out, because Ivy isn't an anxious dog. However, she is an incredibly active dog who has a lot of energy and she spends a lot of time outdoors with me. And she will often be tired because of that. So she'll need somewhere to just go and chill out and have a good rest. And so she also likes the use of the crate to just go. And the older she gets, I find she's using that more and more because she just is seeking out that space to go and feel safe and cozy. Basically to be left to it so she can really rest. And that is really important. So the reason I'm not so much of a fan of the traditional use of a crate, of getting a dog used to going in it and being shut in it, not necessarily by their own choice, is because it doesn't necessarily teach our dogs the skill of being able to choose to relax and actually just settle themselves down and teach their brain to be able to really switch off and find their own secure, safe spaces and being able to take themselves off and signal to themselves when they're feeling overwhelmed or anxious. I think actually enforcing that rest can actually do the opposite. So it is very difficult because it's not something that's necessarily easy for dogs to learn. And if you've not got a puppy or you've got a rescue dog or an older dog which has lots of learned behavior behind them, then that can be a really difficult thing to expect the dog to do, because they might have lots of learned history behind them, which means they aren't easily able to settle down themselves and take themselves off and know when they actually need to rest. So often dogs can be a little bit like toddlers and get carried away and full of emotions and just will want to keep going because they love social contact or they love activity, and their brain just won't let them switch off and rest and sleep. And actually sometimes that can be problematic when they then become overtired and their brain is just really starting to struggle because they actually need rest and sleep. So personally for me, with new puppies, I really like to try and teach them to actually just be able to learn to regulate themselves and take that chill out time, because that's such a vital skill for dogs as they grow, if they're able to do that. So Poppy, when she came to us, absolutely didn't really have that skill. She was a rescue dog. And so that's definitely something that I have had to try and introduce, and I don't think teach her is the right word, because it's not something I've tried to teach her. It's something that I've tried to offer her choices for by following her preference and figuring out what's going to work for her and encouraging her to make the right choices. So it's not something that is easy to do, because it doesn't necessarily yield quick results, and it can sometimes be a bit frustrating and time consuming, because it involves actually really having to observe your dog and pay attention to their choices, what they like, and try and figure out what's going to work for them and try and predict what's going to make them actually use a specific area and actually encourage them to go and rest. So if we actually take the time to stop and watch our dogs, then they will actually give us so many different clues to what is going to be right for them. So we can just simply start by actually watching and observing where our dog chooses to rest. So at some point, if they're worn out, they're probably just going to crash. So even if you've got a puppy that will go and go and go and wear themselves out, maybe they get really excited and they puppy bite and they will just go and go and go. At some point, they're going to have to crash because their body just won't be able to cope much longer. So actually watch at what point do they crash? Where do they like to go? What are they choosing to chill out on? Where are they resting? We can actually use those cues to figure out what's going to be ideal to create a resting area that is going to work for our dog, but we can also mold to also suit our preferences and our space, because particularly if you are limited on space, it can be quite difficult and you might have your own preferences. For example, some people are more than happy for their dogs to be on the sofa or on the bed, and other people absolutely won't want that. And either way, it's absolutely fine. It's whatever is your preference. But actually, if we really observe our dog and watch what they want, then we can use those clues to set up a space. So as I said, with Poppy, I watched her and knew that she loved to sit on the sofa on this particular throw. So I thought, great, she's finding that throw comfortable. So we'll use that. We'll put that in the crate. We'll set up a nice cozy area. And ultimately what that's doing is making it appealing for her. So she's actually going to go, oh, that looks like a nice space. I'm going to go and chill out there. And why that is so powerful is because when an animal actually has a choice to do something, they're going to do it again because it's something they want to do. And that's going to ultimately actually help them to really chill out and rest and sleep and recharge, which is what we want. So when we are using a crate to encourage a dog to rest, whether that's through enforced rest or rest through choice, ultimately the goal is the same, in that we want the dog to settle down and sleep and chill. So if we can teach the dog to self-regulate and actually learn to choose to rest and choose to switch off, then that is going to be so much better for them and us in the long run, because they're able to do it themselves. So we're not constantly having to get involved. We're not having to monitor what they're doing. We're not having to worry about what they're doing. So don't get me wrong, it has not been easy with Poppy. She is an anxious dog and we always have to watch her with visitors, because she can be funny around touch and can get overwhelmed easily. However, what she now does is, which is a relatively recent skill she's developed, is that when she's feeling overwhelmed now, she will very often just take herself off to the crate or take herself upstairs to a safe space. And that is such a vital, useful skill, because it means that I need to be less worried about her. I need to be less vigilant to what she's doing if we have visitors around. So I really try and set Poppy up for success as much as possible. And I try and make sure that I'm only putting her in situations that she can cope with. Otherwise, it's going to be really stressful for her and really stressful for me. But actually, now she's learned that skill of being able to go, oh, I'm not having this today. This is overwhelming me. I don't want this. She can just go and take herself off. It's making life so much easier. So it's a skill she's developed, but we managed to develop that through giving her choice, giving her options, and actually making sure the options suit her. So if I was to try and set up a crate somewhere that she didn't really like, so say I put it in a busy area and maybe I put a type of bed in it that she just had no interest in, had never shown any interest in curling up and getting cozy on before. Maybe if it wasn't covered and particularly cozy, then she's probably not going to use it. So Poppy is the type of dog that absolutely loves cozy space. She loves to properly nest into a bed. So I really need to think about that and actually follow her lead in those instances. And your dog will have their own individual preferences. So Ivy is a little different. She will very often just choose just to lie out on the middle of a rug. She's much more secure than Poppy. She doesn't necessarily need to feel quite as cozy and separate. She is much more chilled. So with Ivy, that gives a lot more options. So it's really about just thinking about what your individual dog likes and going with that. So there's not necessarily anything wrong with the traditional crate training way. And in some cases, if a dog really isn't able to regulate yet, then enforced rest can be useful. However, personally, I prefer to use a barrier with a bigger space because I like to give the dog as much choice as possible within a restricted environment. So rather than shutting them in a crate, I would choose to have a stair gate on a small room. So we are still encouraging the dog to have as limited a small space as possible, but also providing some choice within that. And encouraging our dogs to rest is just so vital, no matter what type of dog we have, because we all need sleep. Mammals in general need sleep to be content and to be healthy and happy. So it's really important animals are getting the rest that they individually need. So dogs in particular are what we call polyphasic sleepers, which means they will tend to sleep for a shorter period overnight than we might, but then they'll also take naps during the day. So we do need to try and make sure that our dogs are getting enough sleep for their individual needs. So that will vary between dogs, just like it varies between humans. But it's quite easy to just observe your dog and get to know what sort of sleep patterns they need. If you're out a lot, then you can use a camera to try and keep an eye on your dog and monitor what sleep are they actually getting. But I think there's often a lot of anxiety around giving dogs more space because of the fact that it might cause problems such as, well, they might toilet or they might be destructive or they might bark or they might just get up to whatever mischievous behaviour. However, actually, sometimes what can happen is that the more we confine our dogs and the more we don't give them choice and the ability to express behaviours, we can actually cause rebound behaviour whereby when they are let out, they just have so much energy and need to participate in particular behaviours that say, if you let your dog out of a crate after they've been confined for, say, 4 hours in the morning while you are in meetings or whatever, they'll come out and they'll just have all this energy that they then need to release somehow. Whereas if we give dogs a little bit more space during that time, so I'm not saying you need to let them have access to the full house to let them run wild, but giving them a little bit more space and some activities to have to release activities to release their energy. So giving them enrichment activities while they're left. So things like licky mats, stuff gongs, chews, things that they can safely destroy, then we can give them that. And they've got releases for this energy and for this behavior that they need to engage in, because ultimately they are normal, natural behaviours. Then actually, when they are then released and given a bigger space, there isn't going to be this rebound effect because they've had the opportunity to express these behaviours. So often that can actually work a lot better. And the problem is that when a dog is so used to being confined so much of the time, that they have this need to express these behaviours. So as I said, sometimes it is fair enough to need to have a dog behind a barrier. Sometimes that is absolutely essential from a safety perspective. If we're working with dogs that pose a risk, such as a bite risk. However, generally, it can be really useful to actually teach dogs to be able to self-regulate within a space. And the more we are able to teach them to do that, the bigger space they will be able to have access to and actually be able to behave calmly and contently, normally. I don't know if that's the right word, because a lot of the behaviours such as destruction people worry about ultimately do tend to be normal canine behaviours. So what I mean by that is chewing, when we're considering destruction, is a normal canine behaviour. However, when dogs are chewing things they shouldn't, it is usually because they have this built up need or anxiety or frustration or whatever, that's meaning that they are then engaging in this behavior and in an excessive manner because that need isn't met, or they have some, they're in some sort of emotional state, which is meaning that that need is being shown in a really excessive, unhelpful way. So yeah, it is very difficult and it can be a tricky thing to navigate. But generally, if you've got a puppy, my main advice would be get them used to self-regulating for themselves as much as possible early on. And start by very gradually giving them more and more space and encouraging them to settle and build it up so that your dog is able to know to chill out. So you can do settle training with them and really just help them learn to be able to chill, make sure they're getting enough rest in general, and try not to worry too much about, well, what if my dog does that, does this, what if my dog does that? Because as long as you're addressing areas such as toilet training, then yes, they might have the odd accident, but it's really not the end of the world. You can use cameras if you need to go out to monitor what your dog is doing. So for example, if you do notice them start to toilet, you can start to pick up exactly when your dog is doing it and start to figure out why they're doing it. So you can address the underlying cause for that. So if you do listen to this and decide to give your dog a little bit more choice and freedom as a result, and you do find that it backfires and your dog is toileting everywhere or being destructive or scratching at the carpet, barking excessively, whatever reason it may be, then that is definitely something that indicate to you something is not quite right. Maybe they are struggling with anxiety, or they're worried by something. Perhaps they're just really frustrated. Perhaps they're worried about being left alone. Perhaps there's noises outside which are disturbing them. Perhaps they're in pain or discomfort and they're struggling to settle because of that. So there is usually always a reason behind behavior, and it's rarely a case that a dog will be doing something to be annoying or to be naughty. It's easy to assume that. However, it's really important that we look at these things and actually think, okay, so why is our dog doing this? Why are they toileting? Maybe they're not happy and secure being left alone. So that's really not uncommon. Dogs are very often social animals. They usually enjoy human company. Obviously, there are exceptions to that. So we do need to think about these things and actually address the root cause as to why it's happening. Because it's not necessarily a case of that the dog just can't cope with freedom. There might be something else going on which is sitting there in the background and causing these problems. So we really need to address that root cause. And often barrier frustration can be a real thing when our dogs are in crates a lot of the time or behind a barrier. They can actually become significantly frustrated, and that can cause problems because being frustrated is not a nice emotion to experience. So really important to actually think about your dog's behavior carefully. And if you are noticing things which are meaning that your dog isn't able to have much choice and you are having to keep them behind a barrier or keep them crated because otherwise it's just a disaster, then that really is a signal that something is going on and you do need to address these things to help with your dog's overall welfare, help with your own sanity, because these things can be difficult to live with. And when you actually get to the root cause of what's going on and figure that out, then you can start to actually slowly see improvement. And then you'll hopefully get to the point where you can give your dog more choice and your dog can learn to self-regulate. And ultimately, for a happy, content dog, they should be able to have freedom within the home and have space and be able to settle down themselves and chill out without being excessively destructive or toileting. So obviously, we do need to have realistic expectations here. So I'm not saying you should be able to leave your dog while you go out to work all day and they should just be able to sleep all day and not have any accidents. We do need to make sure we are meeting the dog's needs. So generally, it's considered that roughly 4 hours is a fair amount of time to leave a dog. Any longer than that, and they might start to struggle and need to go to the toilet or become a little bit frustrated because they need to get out and stretch their legs and have some stimulation. So we do need to make sure that those needs are being met for our dogs. So if you're leaving them for longer than, say, 4 hours at a time, obviously it's going to be individual. These things are never black and white, and there's always, we always need to think about our individual dog and what they can personally cope with. So some dogs might be able to go slightly more than 4 hours. Other dogs might need some social contact and time outdoors and stimulation after 2 or 3 hours. So think about your individual dog and make sure you're meeting those needs by giving them a break or getting in a dog walker or using daycare facilities or whatever it may be. So even if you are finding you need to crate your dog and they just can't have any freedoms, then you can still give them enrichment inside their crate to just help keep them stimulated and keep them occupied. So this might be an example, say, if your dog is needing to be in a really restricted space, say, because they've had surgery and they need rest, we can actually think of as much ways as possible to keep them stimulated by using their brain, getting them thinking and engaging in, say, chewing activity. So I've spoken about this many times before, that chewing, sniffing, digging, things like that are hugely natural, normal behaviours for dogs to engage in. So anything we can do to help them, give them an outlet for these types of behaviours, can really help their brain and help just keep them nice and content. So a few things to think about there. But ultimately, for me, a happy, content dog is able to have some freedoms and be able to have access to a reasonable amount of space without it causing frustrations and problems here, there and everywhere. So if you are finding that you're not able to give your dog any freedom and it does cause chaos for you and your dog, then definitely do get some help, because it shouldn't be like that and it doesn't necessarily need to be like that. And addressing it can definitely help improve welfare for your dog, and also it will probably have a significant improvement on your life as well.
Thank you for joining us for Real Conversations. I'd love to learn more about the experiences you've had with your pets. So message me on social media or drop me an email to let me know what conversations you want to hear. If you'd like to learn more about me and my dog or cat behaviour support options, you can head to my website, wagandpairpetbehaviour.co.uk. I'll be back soon to continue these for real and honest conversations. So until next time, remember, it's okay to take things one paw at a time.